Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we go into all things China virus. But before we go any further, email us your questions. We're doing an Ask Me Anything later in the week. Freedom@CharlieKirk.com. Freedom@CharlieKirk.com. Email us your questions. We want to hear from you. And also make sure you guys are subscribed to the Charlie Kirk Show and give us those 5-star ratings. That helps us surge in the charts. So type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. I'm going to give you guys a very unique take on why I think we got this thing completely out of balance and out of whack. And we have serious economic damage happening in front of our very eyes. I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, wash your hands. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. As I'm recording this podcast, I am just watching my TV on mute. The market just nearly cratered 3,000 points. Stocks just plunged 12.9%, mostly because of fears over the China virus. We're going to get into this, and I'm going to give you my take. First and foremost, I want to say that I think that the way the media is processing this and covering this is totally incorrect. Right now, the media says there are 4,243 cases in the United States, 75 deaths, and 73 people that have recovered from the virus. Really only two numbers actually matter, and they're not even factoring this into their news coverage. Only one number they are. They should really only be talking about deaths, and they should be talking about critical cases, because most of the cases are people that have mild symptoms or no symptoms whatsoever. Yes, they should be quarantined, but they shouldn't be factored into the enormity or the spread or the severity of the pandemic. So right now we're going through economic uncertainty because we have the government insisting that basically a $20 trillion economy comes to an absolute and total grinding halt. Elderly people are most likely at risk to get this virus, but they're also most at risk of seeing their entire life savings totally disappear in front of their eyes, and that is exactly what's happening right now. There's a huge milestone that happened. The China virus deaths are now more outside of China than those inside of China. So now this is truly a global pandemic. And let's just not forget where this virus originated. Where this virus started was in China. The Chinese lied about it. But right now, there are two things we should be worried about. I will make the argument throughout this podcast that we need to be far more worried about America's economy than just the spread of the virus. And now I'm not minimizing the spread of the virus, but the virus has now infected the healthiest economy in American history. These are real jobs. I was in a restaurant last night in the suburbs of Chicago with a dear friend, and I was talking to this young waitress, and she said, yeah, starting tomorrow, by order of the police, this restaurant is totally shut down. I said, what are you going to do for work? She said, look, I'm a single mother, and I don't know. She said, I have no backup work. I'm trying to work my way through school. I rely on tips. I did give her a nice tip because I felt very sorry for her. She said, there's no economic recovery package for me. There's no path forward for me. So now all of a sudden you are impacting young people's lives. When the media says that only elderly people are suffering from this virus, that is a lie. Now young people are suffering because of this virus. Not necessarily because they're getting infected with the virus and they're showing symptoms, but now we are laying millions of people off of work. Recently, Illinois, Ohio, San Francisco, most parts of California, Los Angeles have shut down bars, restaurants, and public gatherings. The new Center for Disease Control guidelines say that you should not have a gathering over 10 people. So I'm going to make the argument throughout this podcast and just pose the question, where is the cost-benefit analysis of this? I understand the sense of urgency to try and thwart and blunt the impact of the virus in America, but is it worth stopping the entire American economy where so many young people, so many middle class and working class people that are finally getting ahead because of the Trump economy? Is it worth shutting that down categorically and completely? But first, you're probably thinking that there's nothing to bet on because the NBA, NHL, and MLB are not playing. But guess what? There's plenty of places you can still place a wager. It's BetOnline. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, all open 24 hours a day and all online. Sports aren't totally done. There's still mixed martial arts, esports, and many more. If you're into entertainment, you can still bet on American Idol, the elections, all legally, the spelling bee, and even Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Be sure to use the promo code PODCAST1 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your full access wagering solution. Again, visit our good friends and its exclusive partner, Podcast One. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. So as I was saying, we need to have a discussion of, yes, blunting and thwarting the spread of the virus while measuring and also balancing what it is doing to the American economy. I'm going to go back to this waitress that I talked to last night. This young lady, she's a single mother. She's just trying to get by. Who's going to support her throughout this economic crisis? And so the obvious answer will be, well, the government can come in and support her. We as conservatives don't want that. We don't want to grow the government dole. We have been celebrating the last couple of years that 7 million people are now off food stamps. We have the most vibrant economy, lowest ever Latino, black unemployment, youth unemployment, disabled unemployment, women unemployment in 60 years. And now we're putting that all in jeopardy. And now some people are making the argument, we have to do it. We got to shut down the country. The best way to save the economy is to stop the spread of the virus. And Dr. Fauci, who is getting good reviews in the media, and I don't know him, I don't know his motivations, but something that I'm just going to disagree flatly with is he said, well, you think you're overreacting, you might not actually be overreacting. Wait, so to extrapolate that argument to its furthest possible logical extent, why don't we just mandatory shut down every single piece of production in the entire American economy? You know what that's called? It's called the depression. Now, let me tell you why this is unbelievably dangerous. The Dow just lost 12 to 13%. I think it's 12.9%. One of the largest dips. I think it's the second largest dip since 1987, Black Monday, where the Dow lost 24% of its value. And by the way, this is off other massive dips and massive declines that we saw earlier. It's well off its high when it was right near 29,000. Now, some of you listening to this might be young, say, yeah, whatever. I want to make this very clear. Your parents, universities, or family members, people you care about, have their life savings tied up in this market. So when the market just vanishes trillions of dollars of wealth and deletes it immediately, you're going to be put in very, very precarious economic conditions. And so we need to have a serious discussion right now in this country. Are we willing to potentially crater the American economy to stop this virus completely? Now, where I think someone needs to contribute to the discussion, well, we can slow down the spread of the virus and stop it mostly. We don't need to stop the virus completely. We shouldn't be in the business of eradication. We should be in the business of slowing the spread. I'm all for that. But let me make this argument. If millennials are not suffering health conditions from this, if millennials aren't even showing symptoms from it, why don't we quarantine and basically segregate the parts of the American population for the time being that are most at risk, which is the elderly population and people that have underlying health issues. Now, the argument against that is, well, Charlie, what if young people need to see older people? I get all that. I understand it. However, what's experiencing right now is a total and complete shutdown of the greatest wealth-creating, poverty-fighting engine in the history of the world. And some people are saying it's absolutely necessary. We have to do it. We have no other options. But look, if there's one thing that the Trump era taught us, it is to reject the bigotry of binary choices. It's to reject that there's only two ways of doing something, point A or point B, or black and white. Why is there not a middle way that we could possibly embrace? And I, for one, suggested it received some form of backlash and mockery online, of which does not bother me at all whatsoever, when I said we absolutely need to save March Madness. We need to save March Madness now. The fact that we have the cultural and economic damage from canceling the NCAA women's and men's basketball tournament it goes way too far. And for those of you that don't like basketball, you might not understand it, but you have college athletes that dream their entire life for the chance to make the big dance. And guess what? Some of these lower level teams qualified by winning their tournament in surprise fashion, and now they have their dreams stolen from them. So to try to break out of the bigotry of binary choices, I floated out the idea, okay, delay it by a couple weeks, screen all the players, put them on military bases, which we have hundreds of military bases across the world and dozens across the country that have basketball courts already. You can build a hardwood court over it, and you could put in regulation hoops. You allow the troops to be the fans. You live stream it or broadcast it on television. Again, you screen everyone, so it's completely and totally quarantined within healthy people. You have the lodging and the food all provided, and you'd still allow the NCAA basketball tournament to happen. By the way, if you want to create a restless society, keep on doing what you're doing, where you have tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people at home twiddling their thumbs and watching Netflix, and get rid of all the sports that they would be watching. This quarantine might actually be a lot easier to swallow, if you will, if we were able to have March Madness on TV, if we were able to have the buzzer beater moments. And you might think, oh, that's silly, Charlie, that doesn't really matter. No. These are things that people live for. For myself personally, it's some of my favorite 4 days of television the entire year. I try to always make time for it, starting on that beautiful Thursday all the way at Sunday night, where you have the opening round and the round of 32, and then following the week you have Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and the Final Four. You have the highest level of American athletics on display, and that has been robbed for us. Now, some people say, oh, we have to do that at all costs, and that's what Dr. Fauci is saying. And again, I'm not going to criticize him personally, but I am going to cross-examine him logically, because, and by the way, not to mention, I'll get into the Major League Baseball and NHL and NBA and golf, but I'm focusing on March Madness because this is a playoff scenario. This is something where you have people that are qualifying for the first time in a long time. The exception with the major leagues is a lot of them have many years left in their careers. There's a lot of teams right now, for example, a school that I care a lot about and that I have a project with, the Falkirk Center for Faith and Liberty. Liberty University just qualified for the NCAA tournament for only the second time in their history. They danced last year and won a surprise win. Now all of a sudden their dreams are robbed from them. That's a massive cultural cost. For what exactly? Well, to try to prevent the spread of the virus. Got it. But to go back to Dr. Fauci, he says, we need to basically shut down the entire country. The CDC is saying no more gatherings of 10 people. But if millennials are only interacting with other millennials, are we really stopping the spread of the virus? Or are we just grinding the entire economy to a halt to try and stop something that actually might be completely and totally unstoppable? So again, to go back to what I said earlier in the podcast, I would like someone to make the argument why we are not focusing on the two data points, critical cases and deaths. Those are the two cases. There's conjecture out there that hundreds of thousands of people actually have this virus. And that's probably correct. So testing is only going to inflate the new case data point even more, and it's only going to feed into the narrative that we need to continue to quarantine people. I'm not convinced that's a good idea. What I am convinced of is that we need to find out people that are in critical condition, give them the treatment they need as quickly as possible, and people that are dying, of course, that if we see the death rate increase, that is a problem. But the leading indicator of the death metric is critical cases. It's not necessarily a leading indicator of people that have mild cases or no symptoms at all. And so just to kind of give you a review of what's going on right now, New York, LA, Washington State have all announced public buildings will be shut. California Governor Gavin Newsom orders all bars, nightclubs, wineries, and pubs across the state to close. San Francisco Mayor Breed put city on total lockdown, says residents will be required to stay at home except for essential needs. So far, there is no ban on domestic travel. Let's play some tape from President Trump during the press conference. Play tape.
To get any domestic travel restrictions, I know that's been on the table before, but is that firming up at all?
We're not really. We hope we don't have to, Steve. We think that hopefully we won't have to do that, but it's certainly something that we talk about every day. We haven't made that decision.
Now, President Trump has been doing a great job of managing this crisis, but if I were to contribute one piece of advice, you have to balance the spread of the virus with the pending and possible collapse of the American economy. Both are very important, and they are not mutually exclusive. Because if all of a sudden we're able to thwart this entire viral spread and limit the amount of death to a couple hundred people, which is not insignificant, and it's not just a statistic, these are human souls and human beings, But all of a sudden, we go into economic depression. By the way, the Fed just went down to zero-based interest rates. For those of you that don't know what the Federal Reserve is, the Federal Reserve creates the money supply. The Treasury prints the money supply. Essentially, the Federal Reserve is a quote-unquote supposed to be an independently chartered, independently governed central bank of the United States of America. They've done very questionable things over the last couple decades. That's a different podcast for a different time. On Sunday, they announced that we're going to zero-based interest rates. If you don't know what interest rate is, that's perfectly okay because they probably don't teach it in our government-run public schools. Interest is the price of money, okay? So interest is how much you pay to borrow money. So a high interest rate means that you would pay a lot of money to borrow money. And a zero-based interest rate basically is that you'll pay nothing to borrow money. The thought process behind going to zero-based interest rates means that basically people are going to be paying nothing to borrow money, hopefully increasing the money supply and increasing the amount of movement and money velocity in the economy. Well, what's really dangerous about going to zero-based interest rates when you have an economic shutdown like this is zero-based interest rates are almost guaranteed to create some form of inflation. Now, if you can grow the economy at least at some level higher than the rate of inflation, you're in safe harbor. However, if you are printing and creating money more so than you're growing the economy, you're going to have inflation. So if we are in economic shutdown and slowdown, by some people are saying by July and August, and we're at -5, -6% economic growth, and we have 2-3% inflation, that is a recipe for disaster. The last time we saw anything close to this was under Jimmy Carter, and I'm going to tell you exactly how that was handled and how we got out of that. But first, so I want to talk to you about a really good product. It's not a problem that I have, but I know some of our listeners have it because I've met some of our listeners, and let's just say this might be something you guys, you men, are struggling with. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male baldness by the time they're 35. Perfectly okay. And guess what? There's some good news. With today's advancements in science, Keeps offers proven treatments that can combat the symptoms of hair loss and helps you keep the hair you have at half the cost of your local pharmacy. You don't have to go broke to avoid going bald. Keeps offers generic versions of the only 2 FDA-approved hair loss products out there. Some of you have tried them before, but probably never for this price. Plus, Keeps now offers a prescription shampoo to keep your scalp healthy too. Prevention is key. Keeps treatments really work. They're up to 90% effective at reducing and stopping further hair loss. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save, so start acting now. Many men even experience hair regrowth with Keeps treatments. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and nearly 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatment starts at just $10 a month, plus for a limited time, you can get your first month free. That's one heck of a deal so that you get to keep your hair. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/Kirk to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/Kirk. Again, it's KEEPS.com/Kirk. So as I was saying, look, when Jimmy Carter was president of the United States, we went through stagflation. Essentially, we had a stagnant economy and inflation. And a lot of it was because of the economic malaise and anti-growth policies of the Carter administration. But when you're playing games of zero-based interest rates, you're eventually going to get some form of inflation. Now, some inflation is good. Not all inflation is good. Inflation helps the elite in the 1% because they're heavily invested in stocks and securities and place that a lot of cheap money flows to. Inflation hurts the waitress I was just talking about earlier in this show because she has very little purchasing power and she probably deals in cash a lot. When you don't deal as much in cash and you deal with real estate and assets and very expensive pieces of investment, inflation actually doesn't really impact you. In fact, you're able to outgrow the point of inflation. Now, of course, interest rates were super high during Carter, but that was because of a reaction to inflation. If you do get inflation, eventually interest rates have to be ratcheted up. Interest will eventually try to be some form of a measure to restrict the money supply. Now, I'm fearful that if we have negative economic growth, which looks like we will have because we have just stopped the entire American economy, while also lowering interest rates, which, by the way, the Federal Reserve, we're running out of bullets right now, folks. We are 30% off the top of market highs just a month ago, and the Fed is already at zero-based interest rates. We might be going to negative interest rates very soon, which basically means the bank will pay you to borrow money. And I never thought we would see negative interest rates in my lifetime, and that's a very, very dangerous path to go. And so here's the discussion we need to have, and I've yet to hear a good answer. What is the cost-benefit analysis of shutting down the entire American economy? Where will the workers go? To welfare? Is that healthy? Are they going to, I mean, potentially you're going to see an increase in alcoholism, suicide rates, unwanted pregnancy, drug usage. And this is not me conjecturing. This is irrefutable data that when the economy goes south, you see alcoholism rates increase. You see out of wedlock pregnancy increase. You see bad decisions increase. You see crime increase. So is this really worth it? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't do nothing. That's not what I'm saying. But the measures that are being taken right now put the entire American economy at risk. It puts the Ohio factory worker at risk that is finally back to work, and now they're saying you can't go to work now because of potential pandemic outbreak. It puts the waitress at work that I keep on mentioning because it was such a human connection that I had that now she's going to be potentially going to food stamps and government benefits. So now we are playing Russian roulette with something that was so vibrant and poverty eliminating. And guess what? We should do our part to stop the rise of the China virus. However, if our overreaction, according to Dr. Fauci, is to now hinder all the positives of a vibrant economy, that overreaction could end up actually causing more harm for the American economy than the virus ever caused harm. And that's what we're flirting with right now. And so, look, I'm totally in support of President Trump and how he's handling this. And he is trying to be measured about it. He is trying to buy the energy oil reserve. He's trying to stabilize markets. However, these nationwide shutdowns put by these Democrat governors, I think, are going way too far. I think that, look, it's almost like trying to kill a mouse with a missile. I mean, yeah, of course the missile is going to kill the mouse, but there's other collateral damage that you could possibly have when you launch that missile. And again, I'm not minimizing the spread of the virus. I'm not minimizing the people that are suffering right now that have the virus or that are in critical condition. However, we would not be honest with ourselves if we did not recognize that there are these sorts of unplanned irregularities that happen in life quite often. Swine flu, the regular flu, natural disasters, hurricanes, cyber attacks, car accidents. So we always need to go through the discussion of how much human freedom am I willing to sacrifice to be able to also protect other people and also protect the general welfare of the country. Now, I'm not in the camp of some libertarians that are saying none of this should be happening. Let it run its course. Markets are going to solve everything. That's wrong. But I'm also not in the camp of where people are saying we need a nationwide shutdown now. We need to stop the spread of the virus. First of all, most people that are carrying the virus are showing no symptoms at all. And so I do not believe that we are having a deliberative discussion, especially over business owners like myself and young entrepreneurs that employ other young people, because we are now going to have to go through a significant cost. To give you a firsthand example of what's going on at Turning Point USA, our amazing team, we have the best staff in American politics. Tyler does an amazing job for us. Tyler Boyer is terrific. And so many other people do such an awesome job. Our events program, our field program, so proud of them. They've stepped up so incredibly. Our productions team, our advancement team, I just am so proud of them. And our campus leadership team. And right now, because of the nationwide shutdown, a lot of the programming that we have planned at Turning Point USA is done. It's over, for at least for the season. Our Midwest Regional Conference is canceled. Our Northwest Regional Conference is canceled. My Culture War has been canceled. A lot of our on-campus programming has been canceled. We have told our staff that they can basically work at home for the next couple weeks. A lot of the donations and I should say fundraisers that we have planned have been canceled. A lot of my travel has been canceled. So that puts a lot of programming at risk for Turning Point USA that is outside of our control. And so that's just a little bit of the taste that we're experiencing at Turning Point USA. We're having speaking events canceled, chapters that are not able to meet, campuses that have been totally shuttered. And I think that this podcast here on the Charlie Kirk Show, we've made a name for ourselves being kind of a canary in the coal mine, being a leading indicator, trying to be ahead of the curve. I think there's going to be some pushback against this for good reason, because there are people with livelihoods, jobs that are now being put in risk. They are now being put in the crosshairs of basic deletion, all to try to stop the virus. And look, I do believe we should try to thwart the spread of the virus. I think that older people and that people that are in risk, essentially the risk pool, should self-quarantine. So why is the focus not on quarantining the people that are actually at most risk, not the people that are not at most risk to spread it to them? I mean, in my opinion, we should be focused on making sure that elderly people are limiting their contact with people that don't have the virus, and they should be the ones that are undergoing testing. I mean, testing high school students and testing college students, I think, does very little good, and they should be limiting their contact as it is anyway with the spread of this virus. And you're now limiting the most productive part of the American economy, which is your 25 to 40-year-old workers. They're the ones that put in the longest hours. They're the biggest they're the biggest portion of the American economy, the biggest portion of the American community. And so there is a huge cost to all this. And you saw this in the Dow. And I'm telling you right now, if we have two or three more days like this on the Dow Jones Industrial Average, if we go down to 15 or 16,000 points on the Dow, all of President Trump's gains are about to be erased, just so you know. And this is not good. I have talked about how the president has allowed the stock market to increase, how he's created all the wealth through American people. We are now flirting with all of President Trump's economic gains being eliminated. That's not good at all. It's not good for the country. It's not good for conservatives. It's not good for the president. It's not good for the political chances against Joe Biden coming into November. But if we go down to 15 or 16,000 and this thing keeps on trying to fall, and we keep on trying to catch the knife as it falls, I mean, I'm not over exaggerating. I'm not being an alarmist. We could be in economic depression. We could. People's entire net worth have been tied up in the stock market. And if they see 60 to 70 to 80% of their money disappear, their purchasing power has disappeared, and you're going to see a liquidity crisis, the likes of which we have not seen in a very, very long time. And again, the Fed has very little missiles left. The Fed has very few missiles left. And so, look, the president and the vice president are doing their job to try to stop the spread of the virus. Private business, especially corporate America, I think is not doing their job by playing into it. They need to be pushing back against some of these state and locality governments that are saying that you must shut down. And I mean, what is the governor of Illinois doing saying that every single bar and restaurant need to be closed? You just put that waitress out of work and onto government food stamps. But guess what? If I were to venture a guess, he actually wants her on government food stamps. With this new year, it's time to get started on improving yourself. No one knows that better than one of my favorite sponsors. I do such a great job, Vincero Watches. These guys know just how important it is to look and feel your best. They're here to help keep you motivated through 2020 and beyond. If you're looking to upgrade your look, don't waste money on cheap cookie cutter watches that don't get you noticed. Finding a watch that's stylish, bold, and built to last can cost a pretty penny. Vincero Watches is changing that. They believe you deserve to look good no matter your budget. You deserve something better than something underwhelming. Mr. Producer right now is wearing his watch. He's smiling. It's glimmering. It's gorgeous. So head over to VinceroWatches.com right now. Check out my favorite picks and Mr. Producer's favorite picks. And don't forget to use that promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K. Did you know that Vincero offers free shipping, 30-day returns, and guarantees your watch for 2 years? It's stress-free shopping with fair and honest prices. When you put it on, you immediately know you got more than you paid for. It's the best value for your money, guaranteed. That is why Vincero has over 20,000 five-star reviews on your site you can read for yourself. No matter who you are, what your job is, or how old you are, or where you live, there will always be an occasion where you'll want and need to look your best. This is a timepiece you'll use. This is a timepiece that will last. This is something that will help you and look incredible. This deal is really so good you can't pass it up. Get the year started right. Go to VinceroWatches.com. Use my discount code Kirk, K-I-R-K, for a discount at checkout. Do not pay full price on these beautiful watches. Mr. Producer loves it. Use my code Kirk at checkout. That's VinceroWatches.com. So look, the lead of our show was going to be this, which was going to be talking about how Canada has closed their border off to basically every other country. Is that right, Mr. Producer? They've closed off their border to China, I know, and they've closed their border off to any other country that has high incidence of China virus. I know they've closed it off to China, everyone except for citizens and United States citizens. So, and look, Justin Trudeau is now not getting any pushback from the media at all. And President Trump did this. Remember when he closed the borders off to China and he was called a racist? And Susan Rice said this is a referendum on the America First policies. Well, guess what? There's an old expression. In war, there are no atheists in foxholes. So what does that mean? That means when you're under fire and rockets are being shot at you and Your ears are ringing. Everyone believes in God and they're crying out to a higher power. Well, guess what? There are no globalists in pandemics. Because Justin Trudeau is the ultimate globalist. He's big in the Paris Climate Accord. He's always trying to say that we should have a borderless society. He is the poster child for the anti-border, pro-China, pro-globalist elite that they're trying to push forward on young people, and they're trying to instill at the expense of our sovereignty and our excellence as a nation. Well, guess what? When you get a pandemic like this, all of a sudden you have a flight to safety and you have a flight to sovereignty. Now, this was going to be the lead of our show right before the Dow collapsed 13%, 3,000 points. And look, I want to just reinforce a point. I'm hearing from lots of business owners and lots of entrepreneurs and lots of young people that have to make payroll and have other young people work for them, that there's enormous pushback against this basic halfway government national shutdown that's happening. There will be societal unease very quickly. We are already seeing lots of sacrifices. I know personally, I play around in the stock market a little bit. I am getting slaughtered. I know a lot of my friends, a lot of the supporters of Turning Point USA are absolutely getting killed in the market. And there is pushback against, hey, how much are we supposed to hinder our economic and manufacturing capability and our own economic success to try to stop something that might not be unstoppable? And we need to find that balance. And that balance right now, I think, is heavily weighted in the direction of total and complete shutdown of the entire United States economy. This also brings back one of President Trump's other points, which is bringing back manufacturing in critical industries to the United States. It proves his point totally and completely. He talked about being skeptical of China. He's talked about it. He talked about it since his announcement for President of the United States, and it only proves his point. Now, China is pushing back against trying to call this the China virus. We do call it the China virus here on the Charlie Kirk Show. We also call it the Chinese virus. We have other names for it as well. I sent out a tweet that I want to say word for word for you guys. It was basically this. In China, they jailed doctors who spoke out about the China virus. They lied to the World Health Organization about the severity of the illness. They knew about critics about this virus as early as November, yet they did nothing. They are undertaking organ harvesting to deal with this virus, and yet Joe Biden says he wants to work with China. Now, by the way, we should call it the China virus because every other outbreak is about the origin of the virus. For example, Zika virus is a forest. The guinea worm is literally a country. West Nile, of course, a river. German measles is a country. Spanish flu, of course, a country. Ebola is a river. Bet you didn't know that. Marburg virus is a German city. Lassa fever is a Nigerian town, yet we're not allowed to call it the China virus. It's because China has paid off members of our elitist media, and they've paid off the right politicians in Washington, D.C. through transnational corporations that all of a sudden China's getting a free pass. Do not give China a free pass for infecting the entire world. There's even a Chinese spokesperson that is trying to blame this virus on the United States military. China is an enemy of the United States. And one other final takeaway with the China virus is the whole discussion around healthcare. Well, right now in Italy, things have gotten really bad. So the counter argument to my entire show would be, well, Charlie, Italy has gotten really bad and we can't let that happen here. Well, first of all, no one is talking about that the three worst infected countries in the world, Iran, Italy, and China, also have heavy smoking populations. The China virus is one that is respiratory and affects the lungs. Well, guess what? If you have a lifelong record of smoking cigarettes and infecting your body voluntarily with nicotine, when you come across the China virus, you are going to have a lower likelihood of fighting off that virus. Countries that don't have as high of smoking rates and countries that have warmer climates, we know that the China virus dies under about 111 degrees Fahrenheit, anywhere between 111 and 123 degrees Fahrenheit. It does not survive very well. It's a very fragile virus when it gets over 80 degrees. That's why you've seen almost no outbreaks in Africa and Central America, despite their subpar, in some countries, third world healthcare system. But guess what? In Italy, they are literally sending old people home with medicine to die. They are delaying funerals, and this is socialized medicine. In Italy, they have Bernie Sanders healthcare. Bernie should go do a rally right now in Rome about how great their healthcare system is. And people are saying, well, the United States healthcare system is going to get under stress and under attack. Well, we have a higher quality healthcare system than Italy ever will. We have more ventilators. We have more access to higher quality care because of a private-based healthcare system. Now, parts of our healthcare system is garbage. The worst parts of our healthcare system are ones that are under kleptocratic corporate government control, where they have an unholy alliance with each other and they create crony capitalism, essentially cronyism. Right now in socialized medicine, Italy, their top health officials are suggesting that age limits be put in place for treatment. You know who else did that? Ezekiel Emanuel. Ezekiel Emanuel was the architect of Obamacare. He is the brother of Rahm Emanuel, and he was the one that designed Obamacare, that basically said that we should have rationing of healthcare and we should have tribunals of who is able to get healthcare and who is not able to get healthcare. This is Bernie Sanders' healthcare. Right in front of us, what's happening in Italy, what's happening in France, happening in Spain. So to close this entire show up, I think that we need to strike a balance. I think that millennials should be very careful who they communicate in the higher generation. But for millennial business people and entrepreneurs, I do not think it is worth the societal and cultural and economic cost to put the entire American economy to a grinding halt. I don't. I think there has to be some form of a balance that can be decided upon. I think that young people in general are going to suffer. You're going to see an increase in alcoholism, an increase in depression, an increase in suicide rates. An entire economic catastrophe could ensue if we do not strike a balance between stopping the virus and also making sure old people don't get the virus, but also young people can continue to work and can continue to climb themselves out of student loan debt. And by the way, I don't want to get to a place where they have to pass another $1 trillion infrastructure tax cut stimulus bailout, because we could have prevented it by not grinding the entire American economy to a halt. I think President Trump is doing an absolute terrific job. This is a thankless job that he's in right now. And President Barack Obama would not be able to handle the stress and the duress that President Trump is under right now. You have the media coming after you, have the world community coming after you. I totally sympathize with him. I sympathize with his administration and the amazing people that are working in the White House. You could not have more competent, hardworking people that are designing a way to get out of this. And they admit and they recognize that we're going to have an economic cost. To summarize my thesis of this show, it is that that economic cost cannot exceed the cost of what the virus could do to our society. Because a total and complete shutdown of the American economy, and we might go into a depression with hyperinflation, that could be far worse than what the virus ever could do to the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. And just some reminder, it took Barack Obama until October 2009 to declare H1N1 swine flu a pandemic and a national health emergency. It began in April 2009, but President Barack Obama waited until nearly 20,000 people in the United States had been hospitalized and over 1,000 people had died. So everyone, keep on washing your hands, stay safe. But also, my urge to you is we have to find the balance. We are far out of whack right now, and we are trending in a very negative economic direction right now that could cause more suffering than anyone listening to this podcast has ever lived through. And we do not want to voluntarily put the world economy and the American economy at risk just for to try to stop and blunt the spread of a virus. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, our events are not happening in the next couple months, but you can contribute some money. You guys can support us by going to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And also, please make sure you're subscribed to The Charlie Kirk Show. Type in The Charlie Kirk Show. Press that subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star rating. We are going to be delivering content almost daily. We're going to try to go daily for you guys, but we are going to definitely go 3 times, maybe 4 times this week. Send in your questions to freedom@charliekirk.com. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. Take out your phone right now, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Stay calm, cool, and collected. We as a country, we defeated the Nazis. We mapped the human genome. We eradicated polio. We are the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. We will persevere. We will win. And of course, we landed on the moon and defeated communism. Thanks for listening, everyone. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. God bless you guys. From the creators of Cold Case Files and PD Stories come the next great true crime podcast, I Survived. Every week, I Survived presents chilling first-person accounts from people who overcame deadly situations, allowing the survivors to describe the events as they unfolded and how they made it out alive. If you love true crime, you are going to love I Survived. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify, Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast apps so you can get new episodes every week.